My guest at this time is David Gardenstein Ross. He is a senior fellow at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, where he is also director of the Center for the Study of Terrorist Radicalization. He's the author of multiple books, most recently Bin Laden's Legacy. Any time that the world is stunned at the onset of terrorist activity in a part of the world we weren't aware of before, you can usually bet that David's been aware of it for some time, and we now turn our attention to the situation in Mali and in neighboring Algeria, where, of course, the terrorist and hostage situation unfolded earlier in the week and continues still to this point, as far as we know. And David, thanks so much for being with us.
It's a pleasure to join you, Greg.
Well, it was during the third presidential debate that a lot of people were scratching their heads that when the issue of Benghazi came up, Mitt Romney referred multiple times to the terrorist infiltration in different parts of Mali, referred to it multiple times. Talked about it as a factor of a larger Islamic infiltration into different parts of the world and an attempt to counter some of the president's claims that al-Qaeda was on the run and so forth. So who exactly is on the rise in Mali, and how are they connected to al-Qaeda, if at all?
Well, the situation in Mali is actually a rather complex one. When I talked to a friend of mine in the U.S. intelligence community yesterday, his reference to northern Mali was that it was vitrified. What he's referring to is the French Vichys, who weren't quite the same as the Nazis, but provided a permissive environment. If you look at the groups that were active in northern Mali, the groups that we largely lump in as rebels or insurgents, you have several different groups. And these include groups that are a bit more secular, with their own aims, including Tuaregs, who are what you call them ethnic separatist groups. Secondly, Islamist groups who aren't necessarily global jihadists. And third is Islamist groups who are global jihadists, including al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb, which was able to find safe haven there. So there's a mix of groups which has contributed to a lot of inaccuracy within public discussion of northern Mali. But to sum it up concisely and simplifying a bit, it's a place where, although al-Qaeda hadn't formed a state of its own, as some people have described it, al-Qaeda's North African contingent was able to find a great space to operate. And meanwhile, some of the very darkest, most hardline versions of Islamic law were being put into effect. I have seen videos, for example, detailing amputations, public whippings. They were implementing Hudud punishments. And all this together was quite disturbing. But ultimately, what triggered the French to go in was the fact that they felt that there was ultimately a terrorist threat, either in the short term or medium term, to the continent, including to France.
Does that suggest then that all these different groups you mentioned would eventually clash, and that the radicals were probably expected to come out victorious?
I wouldn't infer that they would inevitably clash. There certainly were clashes and personality disputes between them, and even within those groups. If you look at what's happening in Algeria over the past couple of days, the individual who has claimed responsibility for this, Mokhtar, he had been a part of al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb, then quite prominently broke with the group in December. Although when he broke, he also specified that he maintained his loyalty to Ayman al-Dawahiri, who is, of course, the emir of al-Qaeda. We lump him as the top guy within al-Qaeda's senior leadership. That's how he's generally classified. Even within that group, you did have clashes. But the various groups there in northern Mali were working. There wasn't visible fighting between them. And of course, with the French going in, they're unifying against their enemy. But in areas where you had a very strict version of Sharia law being implemented, that certainly is very definitive proof that the secularists were not winning out in those areas at all.
David, obviously our attention is on the area now, as you mentioned, because of what happened in Algeria over the past couple of days and the fact that at least a number of Americans, that number seems to be in flux a little bit, but were taken hostage. We don't know what happened to all of them or really even any of them as a result of the attempted rescue by the Algerian military. But the fact that Americans were involved, what does that mean for U.S. policy? Does this require us to take a more active role in some way, or are we more likely to defer to the French, at least for now?
Well, the actual kidnapping took place in Algeria, 700 miles from the Malian border. It was, of course, retaliation for what was happening within Mali, but it doesn't mean that the U.S. is necessarily going to play more of a role. You know, what the U.S. is going to do has also been a subject of contentious debate. You initially had the Pentagon say that they would provide assistance to the French, surveillance helicopters and the like. According to latest reports, the White House is now backing down. So you may end up having the Pentagon's view that it should provide support but not boots on the ground winning out over the White House's view. I do think that what happened in Algeria may prod us a little bit more to provide non-lethal support to the French to make sure that we come through in that regard. But you know, I'm not sure how much of a commitment it's going to prod the U.S. to undertake. It's very clear that right now we are feeling overextended, and the administration, even though it identifies Mali as being a problematic place, a place of potential danger, hasn't been exactly gung-ho about taking the lead in this.
Well, clearly, I think a lot of Americans are a bit weary of conflict and the overextension, but it's certainly one more area in a very volatile region that requires our attention. David, as always, great to have you with us. Thank you.
Thank you.
David Gardenstein-Ross is a senior fellow at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, where he's also director of the Center for the Study of Terrorist Radicalization. He's the author of multiple books, including, most recently, Bin Laden's Legacy. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.